Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a what? Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who did, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Well, I was arguing because she was saying that just understanding someone's situation is empathy. And I was saying, I don't think just being able to understand someone's situation is empathy.
That's the first step.
Yeah.
It's it in and of itself.
Because, like,
I
can do that. Like, I can understand it's someone who's working at a cash register late into the night in, like, an empty store would be bored out of their mind. I can understand that. That doesn't mean I feel anything for them.
Right. That empathy is the feeling for them.
And she's like, do you have empathy? I'm like, no, I have the ability to visualize other people's situations and then feel nothing.
No, I mostly agree. I'm mostly on your side here.
Yeah, I mean, that's most of the therapy these days that are arguing about, like, it's weird. It's really weird.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll talk, an extreme example is the Saint Luigi, often that piece of shit, right?
Sure.
She's like, what does that change? I'm like, why are you such a downer? What do you mean? And, like, there's a lot of times when I'll be, like, talking about, like, something that happens in the news and how I feel hopeful about it. And then she'd be like, well, what does that change?
The Luigi thing, though, had actual change. Like,
yeah.
United Healthcare has approved so much health insurance claims that they're getting sued by BlackRock.
Yeah, but she's like, well, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, what does that change? I'm like, are you supposed to be helping me? What's
also
happening?
If you're supposed to feel empathy, individual people's lives have been changed for the better.
And I know, it just, like, it's this weird, like, she's like being a bad, she's like telling me things I would tell a therapist and then they would tell me don't think like that.
Sure.
She's a real negative Nancy. And she's like, I mean, what about the board still there? I'm like, yeah, we should kill them all too.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. I'm like, I mean, look, when they threw tea into Boston Harbor, I'm sure they're like, what did this change? We're still getting taxed, but then it led to the revolution. Like, it feels a lot of times when we get into these debates, which is frequently, I feel like I'm having to explain to her that change is a gradual thing.
Yeah.
Which is a wild thing for the patient to be explaining to the therapist.
Change also wide-scale systemic, I'm going to say systemic. I actually don't remember systemic versus systematic, but large-scale systemic change is violent.
Yeah.
It's not peaceful.
No.
There's, I cannot recall one true peaceful transfer of power.
I argue with my mom all the time because I'm always like, there's no such thing as a peaceful transition.
No.
The peaceful parts can be a part of it, but overall, any great societal change has come through violence.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I've said this. My controversial opinion, apparently in, like, liberal spaces, is that the January 6th people were correct. Like, if you truly believe that your government is being taken over,
oh, okay, yeah, 100%.
You're
100%.
Overthrow it.
They are the most successful political movement in recent times.
I disagree. I disagree with
the
their
motives,
their actual platform, and, like, yeah,
the reasoning, but the action. Yeah,
the
no,
action itself. Yes,
100%. I mean, it was the most successful thing. They won. Like, they've affected the change that they wanted to see. Like, a lot of all this is happening because of that. Most of them are out of jail. I mean, they're going back in because they're, like, immediately going to Starbucks and Googling child pornography.
Yeah.
But they got out.
There are people, I mean, yeah, I mean, they're going to be on FBI watch lists forever. But yes, 100%. They were, I disagree with their position. The action they took. That is the correct action. If you truly believe that your government is being taken over by an evil force, overthrow your government.
Yeah.
Like,
you can't go around like, oh, we're, I mean, there's actual fascism, but
yeah,
this
sure
is how they sound to me. Oh, fascism. Oh, Hitler. And it's like, well, if Hitler's there, get rid of him.
Yeah, 100%.
Why aren't you doing anything? And when someone does, like there's the one guy who, like, was screaming about him in Congress and they, like, censored him. And it's like, what are you talking? The most ineffectual party and all they're caring about is this abundance. Have you ever talked about the abundance policy?
Privately, not on the pod.
Okay, so, like, imagine a future, right?
Uh-huh.
You wake up, chirp, chirp, chirp. Birds are chirping because nature's doing great. You get out in your nice rent-controlled apartment and eat a delicious breakfast made from food grown in your rooftop garden.
Yep.
right? You go outside, you get your weight loss medicine that's delivered from orbital factories.
Sure.
Right? And then you take your eco-free green electric car to work, and you don't work too hard, you work reasonable hours, and get a lot of time off, right? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Now you might be saying to yourself, listeners, you can explain how we're going to get there.
Yeah, that was my first question.
There's no real explanation except vote for the Democrats. The only explanation you'll kind of get is we should deregulate business. At their recent conference, they had a slideshow, I shit you not, where their policy for winning elections, step one, keep blue states blue.
Okay.
Step two, turn red states blue.
How?
Vote Democrat.
Sure. 100%. How?
So fucked. Though, to be fair, I mean, the other side isn't doing great. Did you watch the parade at all?
No.
It's so fucking funny.
Okay, please.
There's like no one there.
Yeah.
I saw someone say that they've seen more people at like podcast shows, and that's correct.
Oh.
Like live like yeah. live shows. There's more people at like Kent's Beer Fest than were there.
I heard that there were infinitely more people at the No Kings protests than
there's like no one there. People made so much merch to sell. My favorite thing is that there's this one thing where you see this like old tank, mm-hmm. and it's dead silent. Like everyone at the podium, Dana White, Trump, are like on their phones, and it's this old tank going by, and it's like really squeaky, dead silent. And the announcer chimed in twice. Once to thank UFC for sponsoring the event.
Jesus
Christ. And once to thank CryptoZoo for sponsoring the event.
So thank you, Joe Rogan and Elon Musk.
Oh my God.
Have you...
Like, the only thing you can get off the road's ice, and that's because ice is already full of motivated thugs.
Yeah.
Anything else, he's like, I'm going to throw a biggest parade, and it sucks. My uncle didn't know it was happening.
Uncle didn't know ice was happening?
No, he knew ice. Oh, he might...
The parade was happening? Yeah. Oh, shit.
Him and his son went on vacation. They had to cut it short because one of the stops was Washington, D.C.
Nice.
And they couldn't go anywhere. And they're like, what's happening? And it's like, the fucking parade he's been planning for like a year.
Management at the where I work has stated that if an ICE officer were to try to speak to us, that we should guide them to management. And I don't know how to tell them that I will not be doing that.
Yeah,
I will be telling them to fuck off and go away. Like, I will be held in contempt. I do not give a shit.
If the next president doesn't disband ICE, if they're Democratic. Next person who wins, you can instantly shoot your ratings through the roof.
Yeah.
Just disband. We have Homeland Security.
100%.
Why do we need ICE?
So,
they arrested the New York comptroller.
Yeah. Joe, and our mutual friend who works there, the three of us were having a conversation about it was right before the protests, and we were talking about the riots in LA and the upcoming protests. Joe and I both were explaining to our mutual friend, I mean, he knew, but like explaining protests really only get violent the moment there's police interference.
Yeah.
And the campus cop, who has taught a bunch of training to the employees, like we vaguely know him, but he turns to see our conversation and goes, just so you're aware, the cop is now listening to us. And Joe and I in unison went, I don't give a shit. And yeah. Then we just kept talking. And apparently we upset this guy where he got up, walked to a completely different table out of earshot.
Hell
and
yeah, just shot, dude.
And just sat down.
A cab, dude.
Like we
and he's right. Also, I mean, the LA police had to calm down. The LA police love beating people.
Yeah, 100%.
You know what we need?
Yeah?
We need a hero to save us.
Yeah.
Like Flash Gordon. Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm your himbo hero supporting cop not supporting. Almost said cop killing, but I've never done that. Nor even if I ever publicly advocate for it, it's satire and you can't prove otherwise. Host Matthew Olenchek. Joined as always by my cop thwarting. Like a Riddler figure, co-host Harrison Poole, and co-husband.
Co-husband.
Well, Brandon's awesome.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. I knew exactly as soon as you said it. I just like the phrase.
I have a work polycule.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
This this is a movie that I'm that truly is an I can't believe he hasn't seen. Like, this is the ethos of the pod through and through, because this seems like a movie that I have seen 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Just based on the entirety of my movie personality.
Yeah.
I'd heard of it, and I had like Buckaroo Banzai. It has been on my list for like 15 years.
It slaps.
And I never got around to it.
I thought it brought it in the pod because, and this is, I'm going to give a shout out to Dan. I don't remember his last name. He's the current author, or cartoonist, I suppose he does both, of the Flash Gordon newspaper comic.
Okay.
Utterly fantastic. Truly a master of the medium. Like, he is the, I'm trying to think, like, of a really good director. Like, I was going to say Alfred Hitchcock. Like, you know, as archetypical, understands the medium very, very well. Mm-hmm. He's like the Alfred Hitchcock of newspaper comics. The way he does pacing, it's literally the perfect newspaper serial. Also, there's two things he likes drawing. Very powerful, beautiful women and himbos. And so he is killing the art in this. He has drawn at least 3 dominant mother figures in the last month.
Mm-hmm.
Gorgeous women, evil and good. And he draws Flash like the hunk he is. Everyone just really, it's just beautiful art. Check it out. Go to gocomics.com, look at Flash Gordon, read it. It takes place after the fall of Ming, so watch his movie. You're right there.
Hell yeah. I do not blame you for not knowing this guy's last name. I'm going to wager a guess, and it's pronounced Skade.
I see it all the time.
Yeah. S-C-H-K-A-D-E.
I'm really into newspaper comic discourse.
Yeah.
As some people may know. I see his name all the time. He's very active on Blue Sky.
Okay.
Mary Worth was recently running a storyline. Mm-hmm. Where Wilbur, we all know Wilbur. He had he met a woman in Florida and she comes out to visit him. Completely insane woman. She like tries poisoning his daughter by pouring like bleach into the thing. She at one point he's talking to his beloved pet fish. He leaves. She attempts to eat the fish, just swallow it whole.
Jesus Christ.
The storyline ends with her brother, who looks like a thinner, more attractive version of Wilbur, showing up saying, "You're off your meds. It's okay, we're taking you home," then leaving. But while the story was going on, he kept like photoshopping her into his strips. And he understands. He's just such a master of the craft. And he understands. He's like, drawing another beautiful evil woman this week. Hope you guys are ready. And it's like, ooh, the things this woman could do to me.
I'll have to give it a look.
You should. It's really fucking good.
Okay, good.
Anyone who's a fan of comic strips or comics in general, I think should check it out.
Cool.
And it has the Lizard Man. He uses the Lizard Man design from the movie.
Hell yeah. The only thing I think looks actively cheap in this movie.
I know. It looks cheap. Great design. Love the design. Looks
two
cheap.
Things. Anytime it's just a human on a blue screen,
yeah.
But I kind of chalk that up to the time more than the budget and the Lizard Man costume.
I think the Lizard Man costume's not as very cheap. I think it's someone who had a really cool idea and just not enough time and money to execute it properly. But by the time they realized, I'm not going to be able to make this look as good as I wanted to, it was too fucking late to divert. That's someone's dream.
Yeah, I would love to see a budget breakdown of this movie, because it's really interesting that a movie that we've seen that I will probably be comparing this movie to a lot, Time Bandits, came out the year after Flash Gordon has $35 million budget, and Time Bandits had a $5 million budget. And Time Bandits looks infinitely better.
If I had to guess, a lot of the budget went towards the like special effects in this movie, like the green screen and stuff.
Sure.
Because that was a lot more expensive back then.
I figured actors probably got a huge chunk because they got names. Like, or if not names, like names adjacent.
Yeah. And they they got Queen to do the soundtrack.
They got Timothy Dalton. They got James Bond.
It's nuts. But it's so good.
They got Topol. They got Tevye himself. To be the mad scientist. The moment I saw his name in the credits, I was like, I'm so on board for this.
Feel like every big name who's in this movie, including Queen, did it because they're Flash Gordon fans.
Sure.
Because 100% he's like, yeah, I'll be in Flash Gordon. It's Flash fucking Gordon. Savior of the universe! Flash!
Biggest criticism, I'm just going to rip the Band-Aid off. It's my same criticism with Time Bandits. I think slightly more so. I like this movie quite a bit. 15 minutes shorter, I would have loved this movie.
See, I kind of agree with that. I agree in the opposite direction, though. I think Time Bandits is more egregious. Although this movie's a bit longer than it needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
Things are happening that are relevant to the story every minute.
Sure.
There's not the weird giant. Remember the giant segue?
Yeah.
Where it's like, why is this here?
I agree with that. Did not need to be there. Might be the best part of the movie in hindsight. But
like everything in this movie, at least plot is happening.
Yeah. Yes. I will say Time Bandits has the disadvantage of it feeling like an extended Monty. I mean, it makes sense because it's the first movie he made outside of Monty Python. But like, it just like a Monty Python like show, it feels like an extended sketches as opposed to like a cohesive.
Where this is really cohesive from start to end. And I mean, everyone does so good in this. I always forget his name, but the guy with the golden mask, I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that costume so much. I love that he melts for some reason. I love all these people just melting for no apparent reason when they die. Great. They made him a himbo, as he's supposed to be. I forgot that he can't fight until he gets the football.
Yeah.
He's losing the fight, and then Zarkov goes, here's a football, and suddenly he's decimated.
But then he doesn't need the football in the future. He learns how to fight without it.
No, I think because he's prepared then.
Yes. That makes total sense.
He was caught off guard, and so he needed the football in order to kick in his jet senses.
I was going to say, he's not the quarterback, like the running back for the Jets or something.
Yeah, it depends. I know in the current run, he's just the running back of like a football team.
Okay.
It's not always the Jets, but I think for the movie, they just went Jets
for
whatever reason.
Sure. That makes sense. I mean, it makes as sense as anything else. I mean, well, Dale is a New York City girl, so it's the New York City team. Like, that makes sense. I'll follow that logic. So Flash Gordon is a star footballer, football player / just international well-known superstar.
Yeah, like an O.J. Simpson if he didn't murder his wife.
Sure. I was going to say like a Buckaroo Banzai if he wasn't also in a band. Like, he just has inexplicable fame.
Well, I think it's because he's like an O.J. Simpson was huge. Yeah,
if that makes sense. But
I think it's because he's a very good football player, obviously. If you can do the fucking war, if you can fight that well, you must be exceptional. But also, I he seems like the guy who's just a really good public personality on top of that.
Sure.
Like, he gets along. You get along with anyone.
Yeah.
It's Flash. Savior of the universe.
I mean, he gets along with those pilots instantly.
Pretty much everyone, he shows up and within 17 hours overthrows an intergalactic despot through the power of just being like, hey, let's throw this guy. Like everyone's fighting. He shows up. He's like, what if we don't fight and we fight him? And they go, you know what? I like the cut of your jib. He's a friendly himbo here to save the day. He has my favorite shot in the entire movie, which in the end, the robot comes up and says, you save the Earth. And he goes, yeah!
He's in like the fisheye lens.
You can tell the guy that writes the comics such a fan, because that is always like the older Flash Gordon obviously had the older comic book feel to it, mm-hmm. So it's a bit off. The newer one has parlance closer to the movie.
Sure.
But that is the essence of Flash Gordon, is he is a football player who's inexplicably really good at fighting, and he's really friendly, and he's an utter himbo, and he saves the day through these three things combined.
Which is I love
it works. Flash Gordon's entire superpower, because he's more like a pulp hero, but I could classify him as a superhero, is that he has the power of himboness.
Yes.
And just the human spirit. And through this, he overcomes all trials.
And people, they say multiple times, it's like, your planet must be really worth defending if this is how you're acting. And he's like, I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah.
And
that's just what he does. He's like, yeah, I'm Flash fucking Gordon.
When Ming offers him the chance to become an emperor, and he says no, he'd rather die and not than Like, he'd rather die and Earth be okay than become an emperor and Earth be destroyed. Just insane person behavior. He's so single-mindedly good.
He is the ultimate himbo. He's like, I'm here to fight bad people and help good people. This is the sum of my motivation.
So
I also like that in the newer strips, there's a lot of people in the discourse are talking about how they think Dale's a CIA operative.
Okay.
Not, it doesn't really show in here, but in the strip, there's a lot of times where she'll like pick locks or do things. It's like, how do you know how to do that? What's your job? What do you really do? What did you really do for a living? There's a, I'm going to talk about this strip a lot because it just has so many archetypal flash moments. There's one where they both get hit by a body swap bomb.
Uh-huh.
Lasts like a week of real lifetime. It's not like a big story arc. But it's great because Flash has to like take a minute to figure out how to fight as Dale. He's like, oh, fuck, my hands aren't callous. Shit, this hurts. Fuck, oh, my whole like body weight's off. Okay, hang on, I fucking got it. And they have a dragon guy named Bach who's there too.
He's yeah. Cool.
And they're like, okay, I got this. And at one point, she's like, oh, fuck, I can't pick the locks. His hands are like untrained for this. And she goes, hang on a minute, and just kicks down the door.
It is slightly more comprehensive. It's actually very more comprehensible than Buckaroo Banzai.
Yeah.
However, it's utter nonsense. This movie is
nonsense. No, I'll make things nonsense. I'll explain it.
Just, I don't know.
I know a lot about Flash Gordon.
No, things can make sense in the universe. That it's just, I don't know. Is the moon is crashing into Earth. But it's part of like, I get that it's like a beam and it's an whatever. It's just, I don't know. The whole premise of this movie and the premise of Flash Gordon in general is just absurd that he's just a dude.
Yeah.
He's just a dude.
He's a guy
who happened to meet Tevye, who was also a scientist, not just a poor man in Anna Tevka. Interesting, though, that Topol, it's the age and the way everything happened. And I would actually have to look up when the Fiddler on the Roof movie was, but that they also reference him being heavily involved in World War II, because that is like the characters, the plot of Fiddler on the Roof. It's just, I don't know. I like this movie.
Comic strips are the same. I think it differs how he meets them, but him and Dale get into a rocket with a crazy rocket scientist, go to Mongo, and then Flash is Flash, and he does things.
He
recently in the comics fought an alternative version Evil Old Flash.
Ooh.
Because he'd previously been controlled by, I think it's Frigga, which I mentioned a few times, the queen of it. But he broke through the mind control because he's too good. She's like, kill this person. He just wouldn't because he's too good, and even wiping his mind can't fix that. And he's
like, it's just base.
Yeah, and it's about to happen again. She's about to do it to him again, but then the older version of him stops her and doesn't know why, and it's because he's good.
Hell yeah.
Because he's Flash Gordon. Ah, savior of the universe.
Okay. Are you going to do that every time?
Yeah. I love the character so much. I love just, yeah, I play football. I'm friendly. I'm here to help.
So they have like 17 hours to save the world from being crushed by the moon.
Yeah.
They fight with Topol. Zarkov. Yeah. They get him into a rocket.
They trick him into getting into the rocket. And then they fight in the rocket. He's like, we have to save the world. And he was right. Also, I respect the scientist who's ready to pull out a gun at a moment's notice.
Me too.
I love, what the fuck was his assistant's name? I love his assistant so goddamn much.
Is he more involved in the comics?
No.
Oh, okay.
I just love it. He's in
his 90 seconds of screen.
Then when he shows up, he goes, oh, cowabunga.
So they go, they land on Ming's ship. They have to fight. Ming is immediately like, exterminate these people. Like, yeah. Just
Ming is comically evil.
And they Flash starts fighting them. He can't fight until he has the football.
And then he decimates.
He can't fight them until he has the football.
And then he decimates. And Brian Blessed is there clonking people secretly.
But he still loses. And we also meet, basically that scene, we meet every important character.
I which is a good way to do it. It's like, here's the big royal.
We meet his daughter, Clytus. Clytus is...
This is an Aura, Princess Aura. Aura.
Yeah, Clytus is the, like...
Secret police.
I was going to say the executioner. Yeah, same thing. So there's Aura, there's the Baron, there's the Birdmen. I forget his name off the top of my head.
Brian Blessed.
Okay.
They screwed us in the strip. They show his daughter, and she's this huge Amazon of a woman. Mm.
So
if Aura, I was a Ming, I would judge not like an evil Ming, like someone who was in a galactic figure who judged other planets, maybe not for destruction, but just for some reason, I would judge how far they progressed by how accepting their culture is of big women.
So eventually they defeat Flash and they kidnap him.
Yeah, because Arkuf clonks him in the head with a football.
Yeah.
If he didn't do that, it's possible the movie would have ended there.
That movie would have been 35 minutes long.
It's possible that if Zarkov didn't accidentally clonk him in the head, he would have defeated Ming.
I think the thing that annoys me the most about the pacing of this movie is that the first 35 minutes is incredibly well paced. It is truly the last 80 minutes of this movie that I think, like, they kind of just, like, forgot what pacing was, but the first 35 minutes of this movie rips. They capture Dale is gonna be Dale, by the way, is just a stranger he met on a plane who was having a panic attack because it's a plane.
Yeah, she's having a panic attack and he immediately went, ah, someone in distress, I must help. And you might think, oh, it's because she's a woman. 100%, it could have been anyone. And he would have been like, hey, do you want me to hold your hand?
Yeah, for real.
He's like if you made a golden retriever a football player and then a man.
So I had a panic attack last night at the show because one of the performers early on at the mic. So this dude, I don't remember his name. I'm not going to call him out. This dude brought like a giant curtain onto the stage and like a spotlight on the curtain.
Yeah.
And he like went behind the curtain and started like undressing and redressing into a costume. And then he comes out from behind the curtain like 2 minutes. This whole change takes like 2 minutes of his 5 minutes. He comes out from behind the curtains and he's fucking Pennywise. And I out loud scream, no, fuck you. And then I walk out. No one heard that, by the way. I've asked a couple people. Apparently no one heard it. So maybe I didn't say it loud enough because I was already panicking. But I go over to the bar not looking at Pennywise. And I start hyperventilating at the bar.
Now imagine if Flash was there.
My buddy... a true mensch, he looks at me. Apparently our mutual friend Marv was upset at the guy because clowns. Marv doesn't love clowns, but like at the same time is like, I'm in a, like, it doesn't bother me, but you don't know if Pennywise will affect anyone else. And then he hears say that, sees me hyperventilating, immediately clocks and puts two and two together, and he just goes, you want to go outside, bud? And so we go outside so he can smoke his vape, and he starts showing me videos of a bunny outside of his house and a little squirrel that he named Business Squirrel that is just like standing up, and he just shows me these animal videos to calm me down for my panic attack. And watching that moment this morning after just having had that, I was like, that's a Flash Gordon moment.
I wonder what the rest of his set was.
I don't want to. According to my friends who did see it, it was just impression, but no punchline, no jokes.
A real people's joker.
He was just impersonating Pennywise.
He was a real people's joker doing anti-comedy.
No, that's the thing is, though, he thought he was doing comedy. He just didn't realize that he needed jokes. So it's anti-comedy implies that it's on purpose.
You gotta vet this stuff. I know that's against an open mic, but you gotta vet stuff. I don't know how you do it. I remember there's an open mic at Gyro Gyro's once.
Euro Euro.
And this guy came up and was doing like a comedy bit. It was anti-Republican. I have to stress that it was anti-racist, supposedly. Because he kept saying... He's like, you know, those Republicans think they should be in charge, but all they want to do is kill sand N-words. And he just kept, it was dead quiet. And he's just, it's this white guy just saying the N-word over and over again. I'm like, oh, God, this sucks. I tell my friend Bruce, who's black. I'm like, do you want to go? Because I want to go.
As someone who, I go to the Eurogyro, it's Eurogyro, unfortunately. I know it's Euro, that's the joke.
Gyro.
But it's, everyone calls it Eurogyro, but I go to that mic all the time. I don't know who you're talking about specifically. That doesn't shock me at all. Edgier stuff like that, you can like talk out with friends. I'm not, the purpose of an open mic is literally to vet stuff. Like, I understand in theory how that happens. As someone who's done this for like 8 years now, I will, if I have a bit that I think is a little edgy, I will talk it out with people in real life before I try it out on stage. Like, I've run bits by you. Yeah. Just like, hey,
They should hire me, right? I'll sit somewhere. And you just come up and you just give me like a three sentence summary of what you're going to do, right? And then I don't even say you can't do it, but if it's like the clown thing, I'll be like, that's your fucking bit. And even if I do that for something that's good comedy, if you're like, no, my joke's good, you go on stage. But anyone who's like that's going to be like insulted in story. If you get insulted by me being like, really? You're not allowed on stage.
It's just, it was just truly... came in with the exact same energy that Flash Gordon came in, which just proves your point that I know they're different, obviously, but that Flash would have done that to anyone because it was the same energy.
Flash will go out of his way to help literally anyone.
Hell yeah. So Flash is about to be executed. Dale is going to be the Emperor's bride, and they're going to make half Ming, half Dale babies.
Yeah, that's how children work.
Yeah. and they're going to put those alien human hybrids back on Earth as the Ubermensch. But
do you think Ming has like a weird dick? That's something I always like when people, like, the joke people make about, like, Superman is like, yo, what if his schlong is, like, super, like, he's an alien. What if his schlong's, like, super weird?
So the doctor injects Flash Gordon with an antidote, fake kills him with gas, and then in the coffin injects him with back-to-life
juice. Talk about fast, too, because he dies immediately. They have a plaque for him.
Yeah.
This is Flash Gordon killed. Also, you know what? I can give many shots out to Ming. Shouts out to Ming for giving him a grave marker. You didn't have to do that.
Sure.
Why'd you do that?
Respect, maybe?
Yeah, I guess.
But the executioner's doctor is sleeping with Aura. Aura is using him. Aura is also sleeping with the Baron.
Aura's sleeping or trying to sleep with most men in this movie.
Yes, in the moment Flash Gordon becomes alive, she tries to sleep with Flash Gordon. Both out of desire to use him and out of just sheer horniness. So they're going to Arborea, where the Baron is. Dale is about to be a bride, and she drinks happy juice, or pleasure juice, to like get over the fact that she's about to be domestically raped, and then convinces one of the slaves to drink the pleasure juice so they can switch places so that she can meet up with Zarkov, who they attempted to
brain drain
and a Clockwork Orange him into being.
But he remembered the Bible and the Beatles.
He remembered the Bible and the Beatles, baby.
He's like, nothing can break the human spirit.
And then the two of them are
love him so. There's one thing where they're talking about how, like, him and her and the Baron, or in the Baron, talking about how much they changed. And he's like, I haven't changed. I'm still smart as shit. It's like, hell yeah, dude. He knows what he's about. He knows 100% what he's about from start to finish. He has no character growth in this movie. No real character arc.
No.
He sets out the start of this movie to do something, then does it without experience and change. Because he's already there.
This is the shit you can get away with in a movie that you can't get away with in a TV show. Because it's one of my biggest complaints about Buffy is that Xander doesn't change from season 1 to 7. Just he's the same character the entire time. Zarkov being the same character for 7 seasons would get annoying after a while, but for a just under 2-hour movie, it works.
Haha! Of course! Yes! Haha! Zarkov! I love him. I love all these characters. It must have taken enough for the idea of stripping another woman out of a flimsy dress and then putting your own flimsy dress on her while she's unconscious sounds like a fucking nightmare.
What?
That's all dead weight.
Was she unconscious? Because it just seemed like it didn't like knock you out. It just made you more agreeable. Because she was like...
Well, because Dale like passes out after drinking it. Because she goes, oh, my head.
Sure. Maybe it was a temporary. I don't know. I don't know how long pleasure juice lasts. Because when they lift... When Ming lifts the pillow off, she's conscious. She's just like... She's there. She's just like dazed and confused.
Trying to get your sexy dress on a dazed and confused woman. Still probably quite the ordeal.
I'm not... Yeah.
Like, have you ever had to get someone who's drunk out of their clothes and into bed?
Yes.
It's rough.
It is. I'm aware.
Dale escapes using her superpower, being a woman.
Being a real sharpshooter, clever woman.
Women are naturally clever beings.
She is the Velociraptor in Jurassic Park. She's a clever girl. They get captured by the bird people while Flash is at Arbora with the Baron.
The swamp druids.
Who... Baron, by the way, I think we've said it, but played by Timothy Dalton, James Bond himself.
Had he been James Bond at this point?
He was James Bond 5 years later.
I mean, after the performance in this.
Yeah, this probably...
He has this whole James Bond scene. When he's in the hallway taking out everyone, it's such a James Bond, like...
He becomes... So this is right before... the biggest role anyone can get ever. Oh my god, the actor who plays Ming is also I forget the character's name off the top of my head, but he's the protagonist in Seventh Seal. I love the dynamic of Flash and the Baron. Like it's pure rivalry, but like Flash doesn't want there to be a Flash is just so eternally good that he's just like, he's such a himbo that he just immediately is like, why are you fighting me?
Let's just go and fight the bad guys together. Why aren't we doing that?
But he's clever enough that like when they're doing the... he finally accepts it, but when they're doing the reach and the thing for the monster, and he fakes them out and he grabs the sword, I feel like the entire time he doesn't want to be fighting.
Yeah, no, it doesn't seem like he wants to fight literally anyone.
No.
He barely wants to fight Ming.
He wants to fight Ming because Ming is the bad guy.
Yeah.
And he's the good guy.
But if Ming's like, I give up, he'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
And then he'd saunter off to play football. The issue is once you give him the football, he's immediately going to start fighting everyone.
Yeah.
His instincts kick in as a runner back.
Truly, I think the only thing you really can cut, almost in its entirety, is after they get to the bird people and they have the duel on the tilting spiky center stage, and Timothy Dalton and Flash Gordon become friends way too quickly, but also we saved his life, so it is what it is. When the bird people deny trying to attack Ming the first time before agreeing to do it, just cut them out pretending to, like,
you could,
denying that.
I would just cut the... You could cut some of the attack.
I would cut
airship.
I would do that.
You could probably save a lot of time cutting on that.
I would cut the entirety of them running away and Flash randomly finding them and getting them back on board, and I would trim the attack. That itself would probably save like 3-4 minutes. About three, four minutes.
You need that, though, because you need them not to fight in that situation so you can get her to the wedding.
But he invades. I mean, they're not there when he invades, but, like, he can just invade and take her. Like...
But then you're doing the same amount. It's going to end up being about the same amount of time. You're not losing. You still have to do a scene there.
No, I mean, you keep the part where he comes and takes her away. Like, have that entire scene. It's just the bird people are also there fighting and they lose. But then all of them together are now strong enough to beat him up. It's the only thing in this movie I would straight up cut. I just think it's dumb and it's one of those that, like, oh, you just wanted to a longer runtime. It feels like a thing where it's like, oh, you needed to reach just under 2 hours for TV. But, I mean, it's fine. It's like 4 minutes of the movie. It's not like one of those seething things. It's just the only thing I would straight up cut. Just, yeah, because to have the bird people fight from Jump Street, don't make them cowards if you're just gonna, like, deny, like, undercut what you're doing 2 minutes later.
I think it's important to the character.
Okay.
I think you could just say you have a lot more time for, well, not even from the whole, like, invading the ship, but just the dive. I don't need to see every individual bird wing die.
But they invade the ship. The bird people are invading to, like, get Flash onto the ship so Flash can stop the wedding and save the Earth, save the Earth from the moon crashing into it. He just straight up does.
He does it.
And it's so easy for him that it almost, like,
man of the impossible.
It's just, I don't know. Maybe it was because it was supposed to show, like, how well he's adapted to this world. But I think, I don't know, it was too easy. It just happened. The ending happened too quickly for all of the buildup that happened to the ending. But the Ming disappears into his power ring. And he, like, tries to use his power ring.
His mind control horny dance ring.
And he's just like, you're losing your power.
Early in the movie, we see that he does. He makes Dale do a sexy dance with it.
Oh, yeah. Also, I think, yeah,
it's also a key
that he just dies because he gets impaled.
Yeah,
he just, it's like, and yes, Flash is the one guiding the ship tank, but, like, it just happens.
Any fight with Ming, it's just gonna happen. At least, because if this is based off the older strips, like, it's, I mean, he's just kind of a dude. He doesn't have great power. He's an evil piece of shit that controls through his armies and shit.
Okay.
The newer strips have had him be like a really good swordsman.
Sure.
So that you can have, like, they don't do flashbacks, like, Ming's not around in this strip, but they have references to, like, the fight between him and Gordon being mm-hmm. this big thing.
Okay.
Because otherwise it kind of is just like, and then Flash Gordon got a football and nailed him in the head.
Yeah, I just thought it was anticlimactic. But, like, Earth is saved. He and Dale get engaged after knowing each other for 12 hours. And they decide to go back to Earth. And Baron becomes the new emperor. And Aura agrees to marry him. Also, we didn't really mention passively mentioned Clytus, but we didn't mention his, like, number two, who eventually, when Clytus gets killed, becomes the number one.
And Clytus is trying to marry Aura. That's the only game. Something I liked is that they're like, you can't just kill a prince. You need to have a duel to the... You need a combat trial according to the laws of Ming. It's like, why didn't Ming make that a law? Okay, I guess. Ming's like, you know, I'm an evil guy who kills a lot of people and keep these people fighting constantly to make sure they never unite against me. But if they're going to kill each other, I want it to be done honorably.
So that is essentially the plot of the movie. It's a long walk for a short drink of water, and it's kind of nonsense, and it's fun. I like this movie. I like this movie a fair amount.
It's good pulp sci-fi.
Yes.
I like the idea that I built a rocket where I have to keep my foot on a pedal or I'll die, and I put that pedal on the opposite place where I'm going to, by creation, but when I build this rocket, it's going to need two people. Why not put the pedal near me, you might think? You're not a rocket scientist. Don't question me. I'm going to put the pedal on the other side of where I have to sit. So I need two people.
I think I would have loved this movie one of two things. Well, one, I would have loved this movie if it were like 10 minutes shorter. But I either want it to be like a complete disaster where it's like utterly incomprehensible, but it's so fun. Or I wanted it to be like, cut this budget in half and actually make them work within pare down the story to where to its absolute barest essentials, instead of like this version where it's like, I mean, it's good and there are parts where you can definitely see the duct tape behind the curtain, but also it's impressive for what it is. It's in this weird in-betweeny space for me, between like, I want to love it, I don't love it, but I think either being an unmitigated disaster or a complete and utter masterpiece would have been like a better movie.
Who do you think the little guy or keeps on the chain is? They never explain that. It's, I don't think it's in the comics either.
Oh, damn. I don't know.
She says this little man. When she first shows up, she's wearing like the skimpiest bikini. Not a fan of that. I like the power dresses she wears later on.
Sure.
But she does have like this little guy on like a chain.
He's just a gimp.
Is he a pet? There's a whole bunch of weird little guys in the opening scene we get no further explanation on.
No. This movie's, I mean, because they have a high stat cast, this movie is better acted than I thought it was going to be. The thing is, okay, I had always heard this movie was cheesy, and it is, but the way people sometimes describe this movie is they describe it like a disaster-y movie, and it's really not.
It's not.
It works. It just was a bomb.
Yeah. Everything's like, well, probably because it costs so much, but everything's like, the sets are beautiful. The sets are great. Everything's well acted. The action's good.
They wanted Star Wars and they didn't get Star Wars. Like, it worked. Like, this movie works. The issues I have with this movie are simple, but like, I think I just went into it with different expectations than the movie gave me, and I like the movie I got. I just kind of went into it expecting it to be like this big disaster bomb, not even a big disaster bomb, but like a mild disaster bomb. And I came out where I was like, no, that was just a functioning kind of slow movie. Like,
yeah, just kind of a slap. It cost you what you wanted to make.
Watch this movie if you feel like watching this movie.
It's been a long week.
I agree. If you don't feel like watching this movie, I don't think you're really missing out on anything.
But if you like pulpy sci-fi,
if you
think you might want to watch a movie, watch the movie.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm never going to tell you not to watch this movie.
It's fun. It's a fun. If you like movies from that time period. If you like older sci-fi, you'll like the movie.
Yeah.
It's a fun older sci-fi movie with great set design, pretty decent special effects for the time, and a really good cast.
Yeah.
An amazingly well-acted, action-y cast.
And a really good soundtrack that is really just two songs played over and over and over again. And it's really...
It works!
It's just one song played over and over
Flash!
And over.
Ah! Several universe!
Yeah. This is just kind of falls into the category of, like, I like this. I'm not a sci-fi dude, so this just like isn't like this didn't do anything for me, but I also didn't dislike this. Watch it. If you feel like it, watch it. Don't if you don't. Watch it.
Will you be a Hawkman for Halloween?
Sure.
I'll be a Ming.
Okay.
I'm not hairy enough to be a Hawkman.
I understand.
You got the big hairy chest going on.
Hell yeah.
We need some wings.
Do you want to do something?
I want to know how they flap the wings. I'm sure it's something ridiculously fucking stupid. Like, it just agrees, like, they just paint out the people that are moving the wings?
Probably, yeah, I mean, blue suits.
Oh, you guys remember the handguns.
Oh, sure.
They have a gun that shoots out, like, a gauntlet hand that holds people. That's all it is. I just think it's really neat. He's like, hey, he's like, oh, from Earth. The first thing he says to an alien, I'm from Earth, want to be friends? And then they choke him with a handgun. This movie slaps, dude.
This movie's good.
Oh my god, this movie fucking rips.
Next week we're watching Raising Arizona, which is a movie I love a lot. Tune in next week for that. Do you want to do socials?
Yeah, I'll do socials. You can find me at Midwest_magician. Please reach out if you're a treacherous woman. I also post Small Plastic Men there. If you want to apply with your the myriad of fan fiction requests I've sent out, that it's not like a bit. I will send you money for them. I have a decent job. I make decent money. You know, I make a good living. And I will pay you $10 for any of the fan fictions. You know, Princess Aura X reader. Throw that up there. Come on, make some money. What are you guys doing? Everyone's always going, oh, money. I'm giving you a free out here. Jesus Christ. If you want to follow us on YouTube, Two Men and a Movie Podcast, Two Men Movie Podcast at Instagram.com. We also accept fan fictions there for payment.
Yeah. I don't check the Instagram messages probably as much as you do. With that being said, yeah, if I see something, I will send it Matthew's way.
Yeah, I will. And you'll get a crisp Hamilton.
Yes,
he's in the town.
Yes, yeah. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, and Lemonade at harrisonpool.com. That's HARRISONPOOLEDOTCOM, harrisonpool.com. You can find me on Letterboxd at HDPOOLE124. I guess we should be wrapping up now. Thank you so much to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music. Thank you guys for listening. Tune in next week for Raising Arizona. And then I don't know what we're doing for the next theme month, but we're figuring it out. More news to come. Bye.
9/11 movies.
So long and good night.
Hugs and kisses.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.